Geek Tank is supported by listeners like you.
Get your Uru hammers and your Kneeler guns, a sonic screwdriver or a sword plus one. Use Valerian steel if it'll get you to come to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank. The Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank Season 4.
Your marvelous-sized podcast.
Excelsior!
Today we ask the question, is Stan Lee an American hero or just a creator of heroes? But first, the news. Geek Tank is sponsored in part by Geek Way Homes. There's only one way to buy a home, and that's the Geek Way. Okay, well, maybe not. Also, Vision Comics and Oddities is having a 50% off sale on everything through Halloween. Go see them. They're at 3958 South Federal Boulevard in Sheridan, just south of Hamden. And they've got all kinds of cool stuff. In the news, NASA released information on the moon's space station called Gateway this week, which is kind of cool. Looks really interesting. Looks kind of Skylab-y in its own way. The Martian dust storm is dying down, and we still haven't heard from Opportunity.
No!
I know.
It hasn't had the opportunity to broadcast.
It has not. So, Curiosity is still continuing to work because it's on nuclear power, so it doesn't have a problem. That is curious. But it's hunkered down for the storm, although, unlike the movie The Martian, Martian dust storms are more like fog banks. And really should be kind of perceived as such.
Are they full of space sharks?
They're not full of space sharks.
Dang. Full of space
Wouldn't
zombies?
That be funny? There's a launch of an Ariane 5, launching the Horizons 3E and Ayrser Space 2, Intel Satellite 38, but not until September 25th. And other than that, everything else is really quiet, like stunningly so, creepily so.
It's space, no sound.
No sound.
Of course it's quiet.
Rockets make a lot of noise.
In space?
On the Earth.
Well, yeah. All right, so Friday, September 21st, the movie's coming out. Imagine that. Definitely dramatic voice is not appropriate for this, so that's why I'm going to do that.
Right.
I'll tell you what it is in a minute as I read it. So, dramatic voice. In her own words, comedian Gilda Radner looks back and reflects on her life and career, weaving together recently discovered audio tapes, interviews with her friends, rare home movies, and diaries read by modern-day comedians, including Amy Poehler. Love Gilda offers a unique window into the honest and whimsical world of a beloved performer whose greatest role was sharing her story.
Oh my God.
So Gilda Loves, documentary about Gilda Radner. I think it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
I actually think that Gilda Radner would approve of the ridiculously dramatic reading of her posthumous biography.
Right. I remember her being one of the comedians that really influenced me as a kid watching Saturday Night Live back in the day.
Yep.
So. Wasn't she the wife of Gene Wilder? Is that right?
I can't hear you across this table in Starbucks.
No.
Sorry.
Wasn't she Gene Wilder's wife?
I think
Gene
they got
Wilder?
Married. They definitely dated.
They did
Wonka.
A movie together.
I know who we're talking about.
I'm pretty sure.
I know somebody in the Saturday Night Live
Hang
cast.
On.
Yeah, it was.
What's your news?
Yeah,
look it up later. Look it up later. What's your news?
So my news is kind of annoying and sad. They are trying to wrap up casting the Witcher 3 TV series for Netflix, and some fans are really up in arms because in the games. And in the book, Ciri, who's one of the lead females, is very, very pale. She has white hair and she has brilliant emerald eyes. And there was a casting call that asked for a gal around the ages of 15 or 16 that needed to be Black, Asian, or minority ethnic. And people were flipping out.
Ah, yeah.
They need to calm down. There were talks about the games being not very... diverse,
Right.
And so they think that maybe Netflix is trying to reach out and create a little more diversity where unfortunately there isn't because of the storyline and where the story's taking place and the way it was written. But people are saying, you're going against the series in the books and you're doing it wrong. But they need to get over it. And I hope this is true. We'll see what happens.
They should get mad that they're not casting real people with witch powers
right.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Because actors should be exactly what they're playing.
They should be casting like real sword fighters.
That's right.
You know,
right.
say somebody around the age of like 28 whose birthday is coming up soon.
They should actually be from whatever the fictional land is.
She practices HEMA. Yeah.
It's called acting for a reason.
Right? Just saying. But anyways, I think it's a good move. It's a good move to diversify the series, and I don't see it as a bad thing at all. They're allowed to cast who they want to cast, and everybody else, shut up.
It is definitely live action, right?
Yes, as far as I can tell.
I actually might be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. My only worry is Henry Cavill as Geralt. I'm not sure I like that, but we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I just don't like him in particular. I haven't seen great things from him, so...
Meh. Oh, by the way, so Gilda Radner and Gene Wilder were married from 1984 until her death in 1989.
So. Okay.
They met on the set of the Sidney Poitier film. Hanky. Thank you. Now, you got to be very pointy-eyed about how you say that. Hanky Panky. So
they're very cute. I just watched Haunted Honeymoon with them in it.
Nice.
It's very adorable.
Yes.
So too bad she's not playing The Witcher.
That's true. And that's the news. Okay, let's stir up some controversy, as Chelsea said.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, Uncle Joe was wearing white after Labor Day. That's controversial, terrible, right?
That's terrible. No, we're talking about Stanley.
Oh, okay.
So tell me a little bit about Stan Lee, Troy.
Well, I imagine people who know nothing about comics may have never heard of Stan Lee before.
And they lived under a rock.
I think some people call him the grandfather of comics.
He's one of the few golden age
yeah,
left.
Because they call Jack Kirby like the king.
Right. Well, so that's all golden age too. I mean, that's definitely
them nicknames, yo.
Well, he was born Stanley Martin Lieber.
Yeah.
And he switched to Stan Lee when he first did comics, starting with Captain America being his first, because he thought it wasn't serious work. He wanted to save his given name for serious literature.
Right.
And he figured, well, this isn't going to matter.
That's a statement.
This is just for a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And then I'll move on to other stuff. And so he started in 1939 as an assistant to Timely Comics. His duties were making sure the inkwells were filled, because back then you actually used the quills to
right.
do stuff. He would run around and get lunch for people. And he would also do proofreading, and he erased the pencil lines from finished products. Because if you don't know how comic books were done, you sketch in pencil, then you ink it.
Right.
You fix things, and then the pencil sketch would be erased
out from underneath it.
Yep.
So he started definitely at the lowest level of the rungs, kind of like the mailroom version of comic books. And
yep.
He worked his way up to definitely at the top of the line.
Yeah, I don't think you can get any more top than Stan Lee.
So he took a break from that in 1942 when he joined the United States Army. He served as in the Signal Corps.
Yep.
And then he ended up transferring over into basically film and making training videos and arts. And he's one of the few people, I think there was only nine service members.
Yep.
Yeah, that
nine
had the
people.
Title.
Playwright.
Yep. Playwright.
Only one of nine people who have the title of playwright in the U.S. Army.
Which you may not know if you are unfamiliar with who Stan Lee is. If you've seen a Marvel film, you've most likely seen Stan Lee, because he has a cameo in almost
everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
there's some controversy.
Kind of like digging into the big stuff, and one of the biggest is Captain America.
Right.
Which Jack Kirby actually co-created with Joe Simon and then brought it to a publisher named Martin Goodman. So Martin Goodman published it.
I think it was issue 3 is when they brought in Stan Lee.
Right.
Captain America.
So Stan Lee, a lot of people think that he created Captain America with Jack Kirby. Sometimes the Kirby is given credit, but it's a problem because Stan Lee has never like openly denied it, which
right.
is, it's honestly a problem because he didn't. And so Simon is kind of cast to the wayside a little bit.
Right.
And part of that controversy is, of course, when they announced that they were going to make the Captain America movies, Stanley was the only name that mattered because they didn't want to give the Kirby estate money. And then, of course, lawsuits happened and the Kirby estate was given money, which was good.
Yeah, that's the way it should be going.
That's the way it should be going. So this is kind of a big problem there with Captain America. So that's kind of an awkward point. There also seems to be like this collaboration thing, right? So Stanley says he doesn't have the best memory. And Kirby's known as being this big innovator for pushing new ideas in comics. But Stanley's done some different things apart from Kirby that have moved comics forward.
Right.
So Stanley started doing like more human superheroes with flaws. Stanley has brought a lot of emotion to comics that weren't necessarily there, whereas Kirby was coming up with all these new kind of crazy ideas with what the characters could do. So from what it seems, most of the controversy here stems from who exactly did what. And it sounds like from several sources, it's Stanley would come up with characters and some general ideas, would collaborate with artists, and then send them off to write some stories, and then he would touch them up and add more details. So honestly, it's like a co-collaborative effort, in my honest opinion, but I wasn't there. I'm not
right
in that zone, so I can't 100% say that's what it was. The biggest thing is we know Stan Lee's name very, very well. You see him in every movie. So where's Jack Kirby? Well, unfortunately, Jack Kirby is dead. He died in the
94.
Before any of this became absolutely huge.
Right.
But, you know, he pushed through the golden age of comics.
He did.
He did leave Marvel. He left Marvel in the 70s over disputes about who did what and things like that. And he was an artist pushing for his creativity. And it just sounds like Stan Lee was a better businessman and didn't really stick up for him. He stuck up for himself.
And of course, we got kind of a thing going with this too, because this is kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about whenever we were offline, as a manga artist, because I'm a comic creator, as a manga style comic creator, I create everything. Mm-hmm. I create the look of my characters. I create the feel of my characters and the design of my characters. That's not the way American comic characters are created.
Right.
I mean, if the three of us were to sit down right now and be like this character creator, I could be the artist, Troy could be the one that designed the style of the character, and Chelsea could be the one that created the flaws. So we could have the superhero, and the superhero could be this person that Troy came up with that was like a 14-year-old girl. He came up with the 14-year-old girl idea. Chelsea came up
with... Let's say 21 just to keep things legal.
What are you going to do to the superhero?
It's a comic book. You never know.
Okay. So 21-year-old girl, because Troy's going to do something horrible to this character, and then Chelsea comes up with the flaws that, you know, this 21-year-old is apparently allergic to shopping carts, and...
What a horrible life for a 21-year-old
female.
I know,
horrible. And then I'm the one that designs the orange and blue super suit that everybody recognizes whenever they see her on the screen.
Trademark.
So it's one of those things. Any one of the three of us could be the one that you could say is the creator of that character.
Right.
And you wouldn't even really know aspects of... It depends on what hits. I mean, what part of Superman is the thing you know is
right.
Superman? Is it his weakness to kryptonite? Is it the name Superman? Is it Clark Kent? Is it his blue and red supersuit? What part of Superman is that that you recognize?
Right. And maybe it's just a factor of time, the fact that Stanley is still here, so he is celebrated now. But Jack Kirby should still be celebrated posthumously as well.
Absolutely. I mean, as somebody who's in this, I didn't mean to downplay what you were saying, certainly, because you were right. Kirby should not be downplayed at all. He is a king of the golden age of comics.
Some artists are saying, like, you know, Kirby would write next to every single panel, like margin notes explaining what the story was, what was going on in the story. So Kirby would take like 2 weeks to do a single story, and then maybe it took Lee 4 hours to add some text to the art. I think, honestly, that does take some collaboration and that does take some time, because you're writing or you're refreshing a story and having a base to jump off of. It sounds like there were co-collaborators. And I want to pull a quote from Lee from an interview he did with the Chicago Tribune in 2014. The guy asked, does it bother you that the questions of authorship still linger on? And Lee said, I honestly don't know how to answer that. Some people always say Stan Lee didn't do that much with these characters. All I did was come up with the ideas for these characters. Then I hired artists to draw them, and I wrote the actual stories. So I don't know what else to say. That's the way it worked. I don't think of these characters as originals exactly. I worked with the best artists in the business, and they made my stories even better than they actually were. I was very lucky to work with artists like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko and John Romita. And anything I wrote was by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, or Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. And their name was always as large as mine on the page. Plus, I called myself co-creator, so I don't know what else I could do. But there are still people who insist Shakespeare didn't write his plays. So this is, you know, an interview for four years ago, and it seems like he has a strong opinion. And I respect that opinion. And it's difficult because, you know, it's before the age of computers, so you don't have any record of who did what, when was it edited, when was it
the natives are attacking,
whatever.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, so it's a huge controversy for like the in-depth comic book nerds, and I get why, because this is a very complicated issue.
Yeah,
you know, I honestly see this as a cool collaboration, and I believe all artists should be celebrated. And I honestly am surprised he hasn't come out and said, like, Captain America's not mine, yo. I came in on episode 3. He's never done that, as far as I can find. And if I'm incorrect, please, please let me know. Send me a reference. I'd love it. Because it sounds like Kirby really struggled after he kind of left Marvel. And
he did.
Went and did other things. And Lee didn't really step out for him. And maybe they had creative differences. Who knows?
Maybe they were mad at each other.
Exactly. But is it Kirby's responsibility to stick up for himself, or is it Lee's responsibility?
Right. Well, let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the controversies involved, and let's head towards some of the other things that are going on with Stan Lee's life after this.
This is Super Dave Rains from Big Show Entertainment Network. And if you like Geek Tank, check out my podcast, Super Dave Rains and the Big Show, on YouTube. So we'll catch you later, and always remember to own the love.
And we are back. If you'd like to find out more about Stan Lee, there's a pretty cool interview that Kevin Smith did, an hour-long interview of Stan Lee at www.syfy. Whoop. See, it broke
on com.
I think it's Wire.
Oh, dot Wire.
So,
and
it's the Sci-Fi Wire.
Yeah, Sci-Fi
they
Wire.
They recently did another interview between the two of them, Legion M, that we interviewed during Starfest. They're trying to get the technology to release it because it's a VR interview, but it's probably one of the
And that
the
was
best.
Kevin Smith as the interviewer?
Yeah, it's Kevin Smith as well.
I wonder if this is the same thing, and they ended up putting it on Sci-Fi.
No, because Kevin Smith interviewed him when he was doing that comic book nerd movie because he brought him in for it. So I
That'd
think
still be
they're
kicked
two
butt.
Separate yeah. interviews, to be honest.
But speaking of Kevin Smith, the thing we're going to talk about now in this second part is elderly abuse, because Stan Lee is
suffering from that.
We've got some more recent events.
Not from Kevin Smith.
Not from Kevin Smith.
He actually offered for Stan Lee to come live with him to get away from the abuse.
Elderly abuse.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin Smith has done a lot for Stan Lee in connection with Legion M. He has his hands on the Walk of Fame because of that group now, and they threw him a huge birthday party, which was beautiful, lovely, absolutely sweet.
Well, it's because Kevin Smith is like the ultimate in geek.
Yes. He is, and he's a sweet geek, which helps.
Yeah, he's a rich geek, which means that he's got the money to throw around the things and do the things that we would do if we were rich geeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Which reminds us, it reminds me, if you want to make us rich geeks, you can become a patron.
So as of August 8th, that's at least the date that I've got from Screen Rant. It has been announced that Stanley's not doing public convention signings anymore.
Yeah, his health is...
He's been suffering, unfortunately.
His health is declining.
Passed away, and I bet he misses her terribly.
Which was so sad.
Yes.
Definitely. She's been with him for so long and at his side for so many years through so many of these things.
And some people decided that because she had died, they were going to take advantage of him, which I think is honestly the worst thing you could do in the world.
Yeah.
so...
Well, Stan Lee is getting up there in the years, and his brain isn't operating as well as it used to.
Well, and he also has the macular degeneration, which means he can't really read small print.
He can't read. Right.
So some things were like, in May, he decided to file a $1 billion lawsuit against POW Entertainment, which was a company he co-funded in 2001. So he said that he was tricked into signing away the rights to his name and his likeness when POW was acquired by a Chinese company called Camsing International in the previous year. So he said that they took advantage of him right after his wife's death and had him sign this contract. Supposedly, his lawyer at the time said he'd read every single line and understood it, but that seems to not be the case at all. So, like, they wanted to use, like, his Twitter, his Facebook, you know, things like that. But eventually, you know, they figured everything out. It seemed like it was just a reactionary thing. Of course, I would probably do the same thing, honestly, in that situation. It's like a, you need to stop this now. And that starts the talk so that things can be resolved. So it seems like they have resolved things. But, I mean, it's definitely caused an impact because instead of being able to chat about it, it was just lawsuit.
Right.
But it's been dropped now. Along with that, about the same time, he was accused of sexual misconduct by nurses that were taking care of him. And he denied that the allegations. And they've kind of died down under the radar. I don't know if it was just specific instances or what exactly happened, but there's not a ton of information out there. Sorry, my sweater's on backwards.
I was about to say, we're trying to figure out what Chelsea's doing.
I think she's intentionally trying to distract us.
I'm trying to probably.
I just found out my sweater was on backwards. So
nobody cared, but you.
I know.
Only you cared that your sweater was on backwards. Until you tried to turn it on forward, at which time all of us were like, what are you doing?
What is happening?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm like, Chelsea's decided she's too hot to wear her sweater? I don't know what's going on. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm comfortable.
Her future's so hot that she's got to take her sweater off.
Right. I was thinking, you and I are comfortable. Which means that Chelsea and all people that are normal have to be cold. That was my first thought. So I can't figure why she'd be taking her sweater off at this point.
So the sexual harassment allegations were actually, I heard about it.
Speaking of sweaters coming off.
Actually, you're the person I heard about it first, but I haven't seen anything. But in today's Me Too age, they all need to be taken seriously and investigated.
Yes.
Definitely. I don't know if anything's happened, but there haven't been any filings or anything like that. So it's kind of, maybe it'll come back up. I mean, that was only, you know, earlier this year. Right. So it might come back up again, or it might just be done because of his age and his mental condition. I don't know.
I think he's estimated between 50 million and 80 million.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it million or billion? I think it's million.
So you have to consider both sides on that because we just don't have.
But you can't overlook it. You can't dismiss it, but you also can't assume it's correct. You got to come at it from an unbiased standpoint.
Did it happen? This is a thing that has been reported. Yeah. So let's take it into consideration as well.
Well, and this, you know, that's another one of those listed under, how, you know, what do you read from that? Did he swat a nurse on the butt? Mm-hmm. Which would have been something that might have been construed as acceptable for a 94-year-old guy from the 40s, you know, but not acceptable in today's day and age.
Definitely.
You know, and so did you have just a young 21-year-old nurse who thought that was totally inappropriate and rightfully so, file a claim and have everybody go, whoa, 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 back off. You know, he just thought it was a good idea.
Take some context.
Let's
hey, that wasn't appropriate. I would prefer not to work with him and let everybody know that this is a thing that happened.
Right. Yep. There's like all kinds of stuff that could have happened. It might have been, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily innocent, but kind of one of those, our culture has changed. And we do have to remember that this guy did go into World War II. So we have somebody from a very, very different era.
And if his mind's fading and if his eyesight's not that good, It's hard to know. Is he?
Yeah, was he in the right frame of mind? Did he think it was his wife? Did you know anything could have happened?
Right.
Well, you brought up something off air that I thought was interesting about the blood thing. That
oh my God, this is so weird. I think it was Gerardo Olivares, because I think all of this is kind of tied into this, because there's just some weird crap happening here. So this guy was associated with Lee's daughter, Joan, or JC. He was a former business associate of hers. And he did manipulate Lee into getting rid of his banker, who'd been with him for 26 years, got rid of his longtime lawyer and had him sign the power of attorney over to Olivares, kicked out his housekeeper and friend. I mean, a long time. She used to read his emails to him, you know, and help him communicate with people. And they were good friends. And he basically, it sounds like what happened is maybe he just wasn't sure who to trust and just
right.
decided on this one person. But
I actually kind of had this happen to my grandmother, so huh. I kind of understand how this could happen.
Well, as an armchair detective, this is a big red flag
right.
to me.
Yeah.
So Olivares convinced Lee to give $300,000 to a fake nonprofit. And bought an $850,000 West Hollywood condo. Probably took about $1 million, $2 million from Lee's accounts through a lot of complicated wire transfers. Basically cut him off from the world, said he would do private signings only and mail them out. And then this is the weird thing. He had a nurse draw blood, so much blood that Lee almost passed out, allegedly, and put it into a pen to sign comics in Lee's blood to sell.
Yeah.
That's hygienic.
That's abuse. That is pure mm-hmm. abuse.
And disturbing and creepy.
I cannot believe you would do this to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare
That's
you?
Inhumane.
Exactly. And so, I mean, I don't know when Kevin Smith got involved, but I'm glad he said something, because then all of this came pouring out.
Mm-hmm.
So Lee is suing Olivares and getting him the hell out of his accounts. And I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm definitely going to pay attention, because that skis bag deserves to go down.
Yep.
And supposedly where there was also a fight between Lee and his daughter, but Lee says everything's fine. They're doing okay.
Well, that could that's another one of those things. We have to remember that Lee, being that age, his daughter is my dad's age. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that.
Right.
You know, my dad's 76. So
I think what I read, she was 68 years old or around there.
So, I mean, you know, his daughter is now old enough that she could be also suffering from old age effects too.
I have heard that she's super afraid of being homeless if he right. were to pass, because she's just lost her mother, and she probably knows that her father right. will go soon.
So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. She's already at retirement age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking, I mean, think about that.
Speaking of going soon, we should go to break.
We should.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Walter Koenig, and I play Pavel Chekhov on Star Trek, and I play Bester in Babylon 5. And you are listening to Geek Tank.
All right, so we need to bring up something that's pretty important here, and that is the Marvel Method.
Right.
So, Guy, what is the Marvel Method?
So the Marvel Method was a revolutionary change in the way that comics, American comics, because of course manga comics are done differently, mm-hmm. American comics are done, in which prior to the Marvel Method being done, comics were done like many other things. They were written as a script. The script was given to an artist, and the artist would write it, or would draw it up, right? And then you'd go in and fill in the text bubbles. The Marvel Method is really interesting in that the author would come in and say, hey, Troy, you're my artist. I want to do a comic. The comic is going to be about Voltron fighting this Robeast, and the whole story is about this. And then Troy would start to write up the pages, And then he'd give me the pages back, and I would write in the text into the bubbles. So it was truly a collaborative effort between the two, the artist and the writer, mm-hmm. in that there wasn't a strict script. It was, we discussed that, you know, the first five pages were going to be Voltron fighting the Robeast. The second three pages were going to be the five lion characters talking to each other in the castle. And then, you know, and so the artist had a lot more freedom mm-hmm. and a lot more operation and a lot more involvement. And it made for much more dynamic and much better stories.
Because two people are working on this instead
right,
of one set of
Right, because you literally had two people working on this as opposed to the current, you know, the other method. Well, that's a, that was such a revolutionary change to the way comics were done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of comics today are done using what's called the Marvel method.
Right.
But I wanted to say that as a counterpoint to your collaboration, where we were talking about collaborators and whether he was ignoring collaborators. It's not that I'm saying he was, but I'm just saying that that was a big deal for him because he felt like there wasn't enough input from the artists.
So maybe he was just pushing a little bit harder to get them to react a little bit more and work together.
Well, yeah, it was very important to him. Mm-hmm. In 2010, he told CNN, "All of my life in comics, I've worked with artists, so I've collaborated with them. I would write down the original story, they would draw it, and then I would edit it and do the art direction. So everything I've done has always been a collaboration."
Right.
That's something he really wanted to do.
And
but
he's
big key
on art and literacy. I mean, he's...
That's part of what he does. I mean,
exactly.
The Stan Lee Foundation's a nonprofit that has access, that wants to promote access to literacy.
Right. And he's also got the Stanley's Kids Universe.
Yes.
Which is a multimedia publishing company, and they're focusing on content for children up to 10 years old. So they right. do, like, picture book, graphic knowledge, novels, ebooks, mobile games, apps, interactive or digital books. So they want to expand children's imaginations, childhood literacy and art education. And they're in partnership between Stanley's Powell Entertainment and 1821 Media Group. So they're focusing on bringing literacy and art and imagination to children, which
right.
is fantastic.
Well,
it's
and
what,
that,
like, superheroes are for, man.
Well, and that's what he was after, was because his thought was, sometimes you can't convince a kid to read a book,
mm-hmm.
but you can convince them to read words with pictures.
Right.
And so his...
That was the Stan Lee Foundation?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Stan Lee
you
Foundation.
You can find out more about that at the stanleefoundation.org if you
yes.
guys want to look into that.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Right.
If you listeners out there...
Listeners, you can find out more about that from the... yes, so...
More recently, he was working on an international release for China for Dragons versus Pandas because he really wanted to expand to the international front because he's really well known here. And he unfortunately can't travel outside of the U.S. anymore. But he wants to really promote that. And I mean, he's made several appearances for, you know, people in hospitals, especially children. He's had a really big focus, even though maybe some of his comics are not for kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Per se. So, I mean, he's done a lot, and
as
he's
they
been
should be.
Very humble.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't
also
brag about it. He doesn't boast about it.
Participated in a lot of charity auctions. One of them was for Hurricane Irma.
Right.
So,
in 2017.
So he hasn't taken his money and hidden away.
Exactly.
He's spread his wealth around and helped people out, which is referring back to segment two, why I can see people that are greedy and opportunistic trying to take advantage of that.
Well, he's even lamented that a couple of times and said he wishes he had been more businessman oriented because he'd been a lot more, had he been more business oriented, he would have had more money squirreled away. But he keeps giving his money away, and he keeps not taking opportunities when he could have them.
Right.
So he's now, I think he's, what he's been doing is cashing in on his fame to keep him alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something to be said for that. I don't blame him. He, you know, he's, it's, you can, you know, it's, it, he's 94.
Yeah.
You know, or 95. And so we're talking about a guy who he paid his he did his dues. He's a U.S. Army veteran from World War II, no less. I mean, he's one of our few remaining World War II vets. That's a pretty impressive thing either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like people are using, you know, these heroes that he's created to do charitable things as well. I mean, Marvel has done some big charity events for Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, there's also the Heroes Alliance, which is a nonprofit group that allows, you know, Marvel and DC allow them to dress up as characters and go visit kids in hospitals because
yes.
people relate to heroes. They're not saying, like, you can't do this. You owe us money if you do this. We can go out and do charity events, which is amazing.
Right.
And so, like, through him, other people are allowed to do charitable works as well. So maybe that counterbalances that a little bit, and I hope he sees that as well.
Another charity I found is called Stan Lee's Hands of Respect, mm-hmm. which is about promoting pretty much our mission statement. It was created by Stan Lee to serve as a reminder that respect is for all people. Respect is something that can and should be both given and received. So it's an inclusive message that no matter who someone is, their color, their race, their religion,
their gender,
stuff, their gender, all of that, you still need to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
Except you.
Well, I don't fall under any of those categories.
That's true.
So for someone to be so in the spotlight and so mainstream, there's a lot of good here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good going on. He's a good, easygoing, approachable person. He's not screaming at fans. He goes to conventions to see fans and listen to them.
He's been going to conventions. I mean, he's still going to conventions now, and up until like a month ago.
Right. Until he really can't.
I mean, he literally.
And that was just because his health took a turn.
His health is just too frail. He's 95, 94, whatever he is. Well, I've got to admit, you know. Conventions are hard on me at 46. I'm half his age.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're a big piece of tofu.
That's true.
So. And he hasn't forgotten the people that he has collaborated with. That's a big testament. Even though some of them are dead, he's still talking about them.
He's still talking about Kirby and Ditko. Yeah.
So that brings us back to our question.
Yeah.
So our question, is Stan Lee an American hero or just a creator of heroes? I think definitely I consider him a hero.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing a lot. He's giving back. He's not hiding away. And we see the good and the bad. Everything's there.
Yeah, but he's a human.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just going to be a human. And that's just the way it goes.
But he is his own hero. I mean,
I think so
he
too.
He has his own flaws, but he's going to do his best.
You know what's funny? I think that in the end, he is who he writes. So I think it's a little of both.
Yeah.
Because he's got his flaws. Just like the characters he writes. So I think the answer is yes on both.
To quote something from the competitor comic books, what's your superpower? I'm rich.
Yeah. I don't think that's his superpower, though.
Well, he used his power for good, which is what makes him a hero, not a villain.
Yeah. Right.
Because we've seen plenty of rich people that are turning out to be villains.
Well, and he's using that big fire and charisma he has to do good. I mean, he's promoting literacy. He's promoting people to do charitable causes. He himself is doing all the charitable causes that he can. And even though it's later in life, you know, that all this fame has come to pass, really, outside of the really niche world of comic book geekdom.
Yeah.
Which is its own kind of little niche. You know, with these big, big movies, he's definitely making an effort. And that's fantastic. And that's all you can ask for, you know?
Right.
So, now that we have answered our question, we should probably go to our outlet.
And answer more questions.
And it's time once again for our Ask Us Anything. And this Ask Us Anything comes from you, our listeners. So thank you very much.
Woohoo!
So the question is, you have to pick a Disney character to tattoo on the person to your left. What character would you pick? So, Troy is on my left.
And Guy is on my left.
Yeah.
And that means Chelsea is on my left.
So, for Troy, I would get him a tattoo of Lilo and Stitch. Because Stitch is very rambunctious, but he's very family-centered, and he's very funny.
I find that hilarious because at first, it took me a minute to think of one for Guy. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm being nice. You know, I wasn't going to do something stupid. And at first, I was thinking Mulan. But then Stitch jumped into my head because I know you like Stitch.
I love Stitch.
And it would be Stitch. Which, so, and we did not coordinate this.
No, it was.
So that means you and I have matching Stitch tattoos.
Yeah, baby. Matching Stitch tattoos. Well, that's all right, because I actually think that Mulan would be good for Chelsea.
Hmm.
Because I like Mulan strong and swordy and, you know, and stuff like that. That fits pretty well on the character. I mean, of all of the, I guess, like, Disney characters, there aren't that many who actually wield swords to begin with.
That is very true.
It's like, not a lot of swordy characters.
You know, to begin with. Our women are getting better in Disney a lot.
I'm not even just talking about,
stronger.
I mean, I'm talking about just in general, there aren't a lot of swordy characters.
That's true.
But I have always thought that Mulan was awesome. And so I would have gone Mulan. So
I was having to look up the main name of the character because I had forgotten. But Merida.
Oh, Merida.
Merida from Brave. Because
she's an archer.
And she's
But she uses a sword. I mean, in classical Scottish history, they would have carried a bow and a sword.
It's the Scottish connection that made me think of her.
I actually have yet to watch Brave because it's one of those have to watch it with Kai and
you
haven't gotten the timing.
You really do, and Mariah should be there as well because it's such a good film.
We're working
and
on
you
it.
Really should sit down and watch it. I absolutely recommend it.
Well, all right. So if you would like to send us money to have us get tattoos, you can write to us and say no at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Thank you for joining us this week on Geek Tank. Join us next week when we ask the question, in the age of information, what is something that can't be found on the net?
We'll get both literal and a little philosophical as well.
And we determined there is no porn on the internet.
Confirmed. 100%. We said it.
We said it. Next week on Geek Tank.
Always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We're Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Fleur, and Chelsea Kramer. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/FoxBlade. I'm Mike Davis reminding you that with great power, there must also come great responsibility. Good night.